My heart ached listening to a friend telling me about his beloved 19-year-old nephew who had just died in a car crash. He said, "We won the lotto no one wants to win, but others lose this luck of the draw every day, so I can't take it personally. Until now, my life was perfect. It isn't perfect anymore." This dreadful event and that conversation were examples of when any of us cross over into what I've christened the before and after club, a mindset realm where humans come to recognize the difference between mundane distractions and profound experiences. Going forward, members of this club will keenly differentiate when normal has been interrupted and when normal can never be the same. I was initiated into the Before and After Club at 19, after I witnessed a murder in North Dallas and survived being taken hostage to be the prosecution's sole trial testimony. The aftermath perspective became twofold. I morphed into someone who could comfortably call a friend whose child had just died when others would not know what to say. My newly integral empathy became instinctive. The downside became an attitude of dismissive impatience when anyone's temporary life disruption or circumstantial disappointment is significantly dramatized as insurmountable. It's rather like when someone who once weighed 400 pounds hears someone whining about a 20-pound weight gain. In other words, members of the Before and After Club can be your most insightful friend in a crisis, while occasionally seen as insensitive, blasé. A colleague was robbed at gunpoint, and my first thought was, that happened quickly and no one was hurt. I've come to realize that their prolonged trauma is an understandable reaction, even if it's alien to me. I have always disliked the pandering contrast homily, "I cried because I had no shoes until I saw a man who had no feet." And yet, it is a constant balancing act for members of the Before and After Club to not fall into that trap, in my case certainly. Although I'm fortunate to consider myself an optimistic poetic romanticist, I have suffered innumerable horrors, any one of which meet the criteria to be inducted into the club. To name a couple, an arsonist burned down my first home, and in this century I completely severed the fingers on one hand with a table saw. Who knows how, but in my case, these horrendous events made me less fearful than before, while many members of this select club remain disturbed for life. Who can blame them? Not long ago, I spoke at an event describing several terrifying episodes throughout my life. An audience member commented afterwards, "That's the worst thing I can imagine. If that happened to me, I would never get over it." To which I responded, "The worst thing I can imagine happening to me is dying, and I will never get over that."